Tracy Morgan back with you, and we're going to continue our news at noon interviews. And I appreciate this perspective coming at you today. It's about the local music scene. And so I could talk about the music scene on a bigger level as well with Utah Burgess. Utah's on the phone with me. Utah Burgess is with Shady Lady Productions. Of course, he owns that. And Utah, first of all, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking a few minutes with me.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Tracy.
And you have been around the studio quite some time with Butler Radio. We've worked with you often on a few different things. And then when you mentioned to me about local music, I thought, you know what? I don't know if we really know all that you are going through. And not only you, but you're in touch with all of these bands. And when I say local, it's interesting how you talk and you have a different perspective. I'm thinking Butler County, but you go beyond that, don't you, when you talk about music in this area?
Yeah, I mean, it's throughout all of Western PA, the tri-state area. I mean, we've got people from all over the country, really, that are being affected by this. So that some of them have roots from Butler and, you know, are in Nashville right now or California or just all over. And some of them tour, some of them make their living playing music.
And so what is, I don't know exactly how to say this. Some of these interviews are kind of hard to get the picture of because I say, what is the state of it right now? But there's nothing going on. So can you give us a picture of what that's like right now?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it there. There is nothing going on. Our last event was March 14th, and so we're going on 10 weeks now of not being able to work with any of the events that we had scheduled. 10 of them have been canceled in that time frame, and plus two other events, our Rock Done Right tour stops that we do with the Rock Station 97.7, those have been canceled, and you know, you're talking $30,000 plus, you know, that's been taken away from the recipients of those charitable events.
And something else you pointed out to me, which is important to talk about, it's not just about the musicians, although the musicians are very important, but the people we don't really see behind the scenes that make this look flawless are being affected as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got the local, you know, more localized scene, and so you know the venues are feeling that impact. I mean, most of them have been forced to close. Or just go to curbside service. You know, they're not holding shows in their venues. But, you know, even on a bigger level, you know, with the touring acts that come through, it's affecting everybody involved from sound and lighting to crew, hospitality, transportation, printing, you know, the advertisements that run in newspapers and on radio and everything else. So it's got a wide reach.
So let me ask you about the folks that are going online with their music, and it is much appreciated. You know, a lot of people who follow the music of many musicians, whether it's on a larger scale or smaller scale, we love seeing them. You know, we love seeing these online moments. But when you come down to it, is that bringing in money? How is that helping in this moment, except for us to be able to mentally get some stability here as we're trying to go through this?
Well, I think that's a great point, and it's probably mixed. I know the people that, you know, play for a living, they're hosting these shows and are putting up kind of like online tip jars and hoping that people are generous enough or have enough to even donate to them, you know, to their little online stream show. It's, you know, it certainly is a good tool to bring attention to yourself. And if you have merchandise or online music, you know, it might help with stream revenue, maybe CD sales, T-shirt sales and whatnot. But, you know, I don't see how it's as lucrative as maybe getting out there in front of a crowd. But I'm sure some people are doing very well at it. And an interesting thing is one of our local musicians we have on Grassroots quite often, Chip Dominic. They had a CD release party planned, and they, of course, had to cancel that. So they did it online, but they ended up with 1,000 people watching it. So they probably would not have drawn that many people to the actual live event. So, you know, I think there's some interesting positives to it, but I'm not so sure how much revenue is coming in from it.
So there's some benefit to it? Are the tip jars working online?
I think they are, but I would suspect not to the extent if you were out playing live. I mean, typically you're guaranteed a fee, and then you have a tip jar out also. So you're getting that, plus you're able to interact with people and sell your CD and merchandise, and it's just we're humans. It's that human right. element. And certainly you're not going to achieve that as effectively online, in my opinion.
So I think some of us, and I'll just say non-musicians, have the perception that local musicians do this kind of on the side and for fun. But there are a lot of people who do this for a living, aren't there? Can you talk about, I say the ratio, not that I'm looking for exact numbers, but just how many people are doing this for a living and that's how they exist. And yet there are some people who do this for a side job. But even if it was a side job, those people may be out of work from their original job.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And it's not cheap being a musician either. musicians put a lot of time and effort into their craft and the equipment and everything else that they need to buy. And if you're a musician who's recording also, and actually, even if it is a secondary job, if you're trying to do something with that music, it is an investment. So it's and on any investment, you want a return on that. And I'd say that would be taking a hit. And, I know probably a dozen musicians that come through our area often. Some of them are even based here in Pennsylvania that do it for a living. And they're trying to make it online right now.
Utah Burgess with us with Shady Lady Productions talking about the local music scene. When we talk about those that are not on the national basis, because local could mean Butler County, but it could mean beyond that as well. And so what do you do, Utah? I mean, I'm going to ask you about the future here in just a moment, even though none of us really know what that looks like. But what do you do right now? I know the musicians themselves, the front men and women, can get online. And of course, their face is out there. But especially when we're talking about the crew that you don't see, the hospitality, services that you don't see. What are those people doing right now?
Right now, I think they're sitting there waiting for things to open up.
Okay.
Or if they've got some other skill, they're probably out trying to earn some cash because there's just nothing going on right now.
So what can we do as a community to help out the local music scene?
Boy, I think everybody would appreciate it if you do tune into their streams, if you're looking for some musical entertainment and help them with that exposure still, let people still know about them. I feel optimistic that things will open. Even from my perspective with Shady Lady, I've always just dealt with that human factor, the people being there at the event. And I'm faced with the reality of maybe having to try to figure out how to pivot right now, and how can we do events online or in that internet medium? Maybe it's time to get back into the recording studio. Maybe it's time to practice more. I mean, kind of doing a lot of things to try and fill that void.
And the nice thing about recording studios, you don't have to be right next to each other. You got different rooms. And so you don't have to be 2 inches away from each other if need be. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if folks have never seen a recording studio, that's always the nice part there. I feel bad for the folks. Well, I feel bad for everyone. I mean, it's not that I'm just trying to single out people, but not only in music, but there's so many people out there with organizations, businesses, efforts, and music that just got the feeling that things were just gaining traction. And now all of a sudden it feels like the rug's been pulled out from a lot of people. And so do you think those people in that position will be able to rebound? Or, as you're saying, are they just going to have to find another skill at this point?
I think that's too broad of a brush. I think it's going to be up to everybody's individual situation and fortitude, and there's probably going to be some luck in, involved yeah. in it all as well.
So this is where I know it's hard for anybody to answer. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I know it's something that we talk about is what's the future look like? You know, how long does it take for a band to gain traction? You know, if they're popular, does it take a year or two? Does it take 5 to 10 years? I mean, how long does it take for a band to gain traction? Because now we're going to be looking at the future and saying, how long does it take for all of this to get back into play?
That's a tough one too. I mean, it does, you know, people who take it seriously invest a lot of sweat equity into it as well. And a lot of time, a lot of resources. Just look at how much work we've done on our Band Jam Grassroots Music Festival, which just last week we had to announce will be canceled for 2020. You know, we've been working on that for 8 years now, and we've got some really good traction. And for that just to stop, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. I mean, you know, we're drawn in from states all across the country now, and you know, it's been growing at a good 20% clip every year. And just, I mean, we were really looking forward to this year,
and I think it's
hard to take.
It'll be interesting though as we go through, because if we have a year where we're missing everything, I'm wondering, the following year, will we just come back in droves? You know, if that's allowed at that point. But, you know, when we have the opportunity to come back, I wonder how much that we'll just come back in droves, because we're all just wanting to get out of our house at this point.
Well, you know, we've actually talked a lot about that. Just, you know, we're curious about that as well, as if people just kind of get acclimated to, you know, maybe not going out that much. It could have the opposite effect as well, I think. You know, one interesting point for me is, you know, in my events, I need people to come out to those events to be successful. But while we've been going through this, we've noticed how much money we have not been putting into the local economy ourselves by sitting here. And that's a real eye-opener. So it's going to be interesting to see how people, you know, what their attitudes are on the other side of this. There's no doubt about that.
Utah Burgess, Shady Lady Productions, if you don't mind, if you could, would you be able to run through those events that you know were coming up soon, maybe later in the year? You mentioned Band Jam, that have been canceled, so people are aware. I think we all assume things are closed, but maybe we're planning on 3 months down the road to do something, and actually that event has been canceled. Could you run through those for us?
Well, I mean, just for our Rock Done Right tour stops, we already tried to reschedule the L's for Athletes, which specialize, you know, helps Special Olympics in Butler County. We had that rescheduled for this Saturday. That's now off till 2021. Our Block Party on Butler Main Street. Some of the big festivals in Pittsburgh, like Millville Music Festival and the Deutschtown Music Festival, have canceled. The things I do with my clients, like Gatto Harley Davidson and Three Rivers Harley Davidson, those have all been pulled.
So can I ask you, because you are in entertainment and a lot of tourism is, in a sense, in your same boat, why are folks canceling for the entire year? I've heard that question from a lot of people. Why can't we just look at the fall? Is there information that you get? Are there officials that you're talking to? Like, what's helping in those decisions to say, let's just do this next year?
Well, I think in some people's cases, and I'm speaking only from what I've read from their releases, they feel it's the socially responsible thing to do, and they're taking precautions. In the case with our Band Jam, it was just a logistical and infrastructure issue to where we can't wait to see what's going to happen and then just flip the switch if it's all a go. So it was sort of, you know, based in things like that. I, from what I understand with some events too, sponsors are pulling out. There's just no money to go around. So if you've got an event that relies heavily on sponsorship or some other kind of funding, the money isn't there.
And let me ask you about the length of time that it takes to put together an event. So let's just, in a sense, pretend we're on a normal year. How long does it take you or anyone to be able to put together an event? And I'm wondering, does that differ with the size of event?
Well, it definitely differs with the size of the event. I mean, you know, like the local things here, We a client contacts us and they've got an event and they want some live entertainment at that event. There's not a whole lot involved with that, you know, in placing a proper artist at that event for the client. But some of the music festivals, I think most of them start planning the day after they end, you know, for the next year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot involved in it.
And so we'll just make sure that everyone knows, because, again, a lot of questions that I ask are from people, not necessarily directly contacting me, but I see their posts. I see their concerns. I see their questions. And some people will say, well, the government is controlling this. This is you deciding this, right? I mean, this is the music people. This is not a government related decision. You all are making your own decisions for your industry.
To the large degree, yes. However, something set all of this in motion, and it was the shutting down of businesses throughout the state of Pennsylvania. That set everything in motion, and there is no timeline for when those restrictions are going to be lifted. So that it's a ripple effect. Just like when we talked earlier about, you know, you cancel a concert, it's not just the people who are going to the concert and the performers that are affected. There's a whole, you know, group of people behind all of that that make it happen, and that ripple effect is going to be felt.
So with your studio, Utah, can people start recording? Are you able to have people in? What are you doing right now with your studio? Do you have to hold back on having people in? When you're singing, obviously, I wouldn't think you'd have a mask on because you'd be the only one in the room, but how is that working for you right now?
Well, a studio in our terms is a little bit different than your traditional recording studio, but we work with recording studios, and that is pretty much an individual decision at this point with the people that run those. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of isolation in the studio, so it's definitely possible to do that, but that's really up to whether an artist even wants to come into the studio during this time, or if the engineer is comfortable with having people in.
I just so wish that we could say, you know, let's plan and be able to set a date. You know, I think everybody's in that kind of setting where we just want to be able to plan, set a date, and we know that we're going to go forward. So I appreciate your conversation today, because it is a difficult one when we have to talk about closures, and yet we don't really have any plan for the future. And so I appreciate your time in talking about that. As I let you go today, Utah, anything you want to leave us with, any final thoughts that you have today when we're talking about the local music scene and what you're all going through?
Well, us musicians, let's try and stay united and positive. And, you know, like, sadly, like much of what you're probably seeing going on just in general, and you know, with our society, there's a lot of division. So, you know, everybody's got different viewpoints and maybe different ideas on what should be happening, but hopefully the music will rise above that, because one thing I know that's good for all of us, and that is music. I mean, there's one of the most powerful forces on the planet. And
you know what, Utah, I'm going to jump in here because I know I asked you that was going to be my final question, but I'm famous for saying I'm going to ask you one more. Because can you talk about that for a moment, if you would? Because I totally agree with what you're saying, that music can be a healer. And right now, not only financially are we looking at our struggles, but I think mental health is important to talk about. And I think that's where music can play an important role. Can you speak to that for a moment before we do go?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, music is also a universal language. It is a language that we all speak. And I think it's a very important role. And, you know, back to the online streaming, you know, that is something I think that's a real positive about that, because people can stay connected to that music. And, you know, it's a real healer. It really is. Music is.
And it's an outlet for the artist as well. I mean, don't you all work
absolutely
through music? Yeah.
You know, and one thing I've noticed with the online streams is people, I think, that traditionally wouldn't have even go out to play live or even go to an open mic have been able to to find an audience for this medium as well. So there's a lot of positive stuff to it, for sure.
And I think because we're in the age where we are, we know that we're all at home. We're all trying to be tech savvy, which some of us are not. And so nothing is perfect. And I think that that brings a humanistic level to, like, these artists that we don't know. And all of a sudden we're seeing them at home with their dog running through the back, you know, or, you know, something goes wrong and they just laugh about it in the moment. I think it just makes them a little bit more human.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's been fun to watch a lot of the streams that we have watched. We've seen people in a different element, even people we thought we knew pretty well, and like, oh my gosh, look at Amy Stanton.
I know, I love it. Can bring a smile, it really can. Utah Burgess with Shady Lady Productions. I will let you go this time. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, I just wanted to say thank you, and I've been listening to your broadcast on this. There's been a lot of interesting perspectives. You do a great job, so thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it. And I will say to you what I say to most people. Thank you for what you do, because I do think the music industry is important and vital to our emotional health and like you said, a unifier. So thank you for what you do.
You bet. Stay safe and sane.